But praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, He's so faithful.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise His name forevermore. Go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Father, thank You so much for this day and for all that You've done for us up to this point. Father, all that You're doing behind the scenes that we can't see, but we know You're faithful. And Father, all that will come to pass, Lord, we rest on Your goodness. We've seen Your goodness in our life. We'll continue to see Your goodness in our life. So Father, thank You. We trust You. We love You and praise You. And Lord, we know Your word is our help. It's our answer. It's our guide. It's our compass. It's our roadmap. It's our GPS to take us where we need to go, Father, to get us out of the stuck places, to get us out of the hard places, to take us to the good places. Father, we're just so thankful. You've set us up to succeed. And Father, this is the format where we come and hear Your word. And it sets us up for success in life. We learn things here, Father, that deal and take care of the problems we face outside of these walls. So thank You for our help this morning. Father, every time we gather together, it's an opportunity for our lives to be changed. Father, You want to say things this morning that are going to touch people's hearts and change their lives. I pray that there would be ears to hear this morning what the Spirit of God is saying. We thank You for the utterance of the Holy Ghost, for boldness, for the impartations and revelations, and for the anointing flowing from Me this morning, Father. And Lord, we're careful to give You the praise and the glory. Father, I'm not anything special naturally, so there's not much I can give. But Father, through Your anointing, through Your gifts and callings, we can walk out of here changed. So Father, that's what we rely on. We don't look to man. We don't look to names on the signs of the buildings. We look to You. So thank You, Father. We're going to receive something here today that will change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I shared along these lines last night in Allegheny, you know, I've been doing that a lot lately because that's the way the Holy Ghost has been having it. But then He seems to add some things on Sunday morning. And early this morning I was up and He was speaking to my heart about adding some things. But just even last night, and I know this is the case every time the Word goes out, but I don't think it's okay to brag about the Word. I think it's okay to brag about the Word this way that, you know, I had people reaching out to me last night and said that message changed their life. And that's the word, what the Word will do, praise God. And so I'm excited about today's message. You know, I've had these things rolling in my heart for a little while and got some things solidified. But Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 said, "A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but His clothes, I'll be whole.' Straightway or immediately the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue or power had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, 'Who touched My clothes?' And His disciples said, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you're saying, "Who touched me?" He looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague.'" Now, the last 2 weeks we talked about, we really emphasize faith around here. 2 weeks ago we talked about why you can't live without it, because we saw clearly that God only flows when there's faith. Amen. The flow gets shut off when there's no faith. And then we saw last week, well, if we need faith, we better check up on ourselves to find out. And hopefully you made some adjustments. If you saw some things in the Word, said, "Man, that's, I don't see any evidence of faith in my life. But I want to know if I have faith or not." Praise God. And so this week, we're going to be building upon that. And this is where the Lord wants me to go. Janae, would you please pull that last verse up there, verse 34 in the Amplified, please? He said, "Daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in Me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health." You know, we talk about faith. This is an example of why you need faith. Changed her world. You need a world change? Faith can do it. And that's what we emphasized the last 2 weeks. But then he says to her, go into peace. And the result will be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. Jesus is saying, yes, faith got the job done, and faith can get the job done, and faith changed your world. But if you, from this point, don't go into anything other than peace, what I just undone through my power and through the flowing my power through your faith will be undone if you go into anything but peace. You see that there? Go. When Jesus says to do something, a lot of these times, I think for a lot of people, these words don't jump off the page because obeying God's optional to a lot of people. When Jesus says go into peace, he's not saying this is a suggestion. He's saying do this. It's just like when he said thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. That was the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. We elevate the Ten Commandments and says, wow, can't go against these. All the Ten Commandments are instructions from him. What's go into peace? Just add it to the list. Number 11, number 12, number 13, just add it. It's not a suggestion, but I think a lot of people think, go into peace, you know, that if we can do it, great, if not, it's okay. No, he's not suggesting you go into peace. He's telling you, go into peace if you want to keep this flow of healing. He's saying healing only operates in an atmosphere of peace. Well, it's not just healing, because faith brought the healing. Anything that faith can bring you only operates in an atmosphere of peace. Your turnaround, your deliverance, your children turning out right, your money turning around, whatever you need only operates in peace. He says, I know you have faith today and I know my power worked, but if you don't go out of here in peace, nothing's going to work for you. And you'll be right back in the same condition you're in. Now, as I was praying for the message, this came up in my spirit about this. This ought to be, now I know when I say this, it's going to go zoom over some people's heads. Because to do this would require you to make some very uncomfortable, natural changes in your life. I'm talking about with family members, with money, with people, with jobs, with things. And a lot of people are not willing to obey God. But here's what he's saying. If you want the flow of faith to work, which 2 weeks ago he said, you can't afford not to have it. From this point forward in your life, going forward, this ought to be your command. Go from here into peace. What does that mean? Whatever I need to do to change my life, to adjust my life, to put that on the shelf, to tell that person no more, I'm doing it because I can't afford to not be in peace. Because if I'm not in peace, I'm not in faith. If I'm not in faith, there's no flow from heaven. One minister put it this way, and I understand what he's saying. He said, if you can, buy peace at all costs. He was saying, if you can purchase peace, it's worth it. Because peace is where the flow is, praise God. I don't know why I'm on this, but I'm on it, and I'm not going to get off until the Holy Ghost tells me to. Blood is thicker than water. Wrong. They say that about family members, you know, and people that, family first, family first. Well, let me tell you what Jesus' idea of family was. They said, Jesus, your mother, your brother, your sisters are here. He looked around, he said, hey, let me tell you something. My brothers, my mothers, and my sister, my family is the ones that do the will of God. Was he negating family? No. God's about family. But God is not above family over the Word and the Holy Ghost and following what He says. And I don't know why I'm on this, but the Holy Ghost has. I wasn't on this last night. Go into peace would require some people to make adjustments with some family members and make hard decisions, to not let them run over them anymore, to not let them wear them down, to not let them take advantage. And a lot of the reasons people are being taken advantage of, and a lot of reasons a lot of people are going outside the boundaries of the Word and the Holy Ghost, is because of feelings. Because of guilt, because of pressure. All the things God doesn't lead with. It's true. Blood is not thicker than water. Blood is thicker than common sense. What does common sense tell me to do? Obey God. Seems simple to me. Why would I ever want to disobey Him? He's got the best, but people do it all the time. Well, I got to do this. Yeah, but is God telling you to do that? Yeah, but they need this. I had one time, this was a while back, within the churches, I won't mention who, where, what was, they're not even with us anymore, but anyways, I had people, it was right around the time we got the parking lot money. You know, we only needed 30 and we got 60. Most people were happy, some that made mad. Say, really, Pastor Mike? You wouldn't even know some of the things that go on behind the scenes. What are you going to do with an extra $30,000? I don't know. Talk to God about it. He's the God of abundance. And He blessed us with an extra 30. Is it so bad that a business would have an extra money set aside, but a church doesn't? Oh! That's true. And there was someone that was going through something. I saw them in church once, like every 7 or 8 weeks. Not even faithful. I'm not really part of the church, you know. And some people that were within the church, you know, that were faithful, reaching out to this person. And man, there's utterance today. Be careful who you listen to. The Bible says, blessed are they that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You say, well, they're Christians, they're not ungodly. No, no, no. Christians could be sometimes more ungodly than people that are sinners. What's godly advice? The Word. You got pastors telling people things are okay. Family members telling people things are okay. Blah, blah, blah. The Word is the standard. Not even 5 minutes in, I'm screaming. It's true. I don't know what happens. It just comes. It just happens. And people don't. They start to listen to the wrong voices in their lives. Yeah. Faith comes by hearing. And Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Very few people have a platform to speak anything into my life. Say, well, that's pretty prideful. No, no, because the ones that do, I submit to them and I listen. Yeah. Amen. But very few people will I let give me any advice. Yeah, because most of the advice that comes my way is not godly counsel. It's not. It's emotional. It's the mental realm. Amen. And, you know, a lot of people won't, they'll start listening to those things, and these people start listening to these things and call me up one day, the faithful people. Well, why, you got an extra $30,000, why aren't you giving money to so-and-so? I said, well, number one, I didn't know the church was a bank. Does it say First National Family Church out front? Is that what it says? Because I could have swore it just says Family Church. I said, second of all, God didn't tell me to do it. And third of all, He specifically told me, don't give them money. Well, they were giving them money and getting offended that nobody else was giving them money. And the Holy Ghost told me this, said, because I wanted to. My heart is to help every single person. And I've had to learn to follow the Holy Ghost because I was an emotional giver in the sense that people could prey upon my emotions, because if I hear somebody going through something, my instant reaction is just, what can I do for you? And sometimes that's not the best thing you could do. My pastor didn't have that reaction when I went to him and said, hey, I got a baby on the way. I'm quitting my job to start one of your churches. I'm $2,000 short every month. Will you give me a salary? Nope. I tried to prey upon his emotions and play upon his emotions. Didn't work. See, now, on the surface, it looks like someone being cruel, but the best thing you can do for that person that's taking advantage of you doing all that stuff is follow God. It's the best thing you could do. And so Holy Ghost told me not to do it. In fact, the Holy Ghost said, that money that you'd give them, you don't put a Band-Aid. This is what the Holy Ghost said. You don't put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. A gaping wound, a Band-Aid will do nothing. Well, I didn't know what all that meant. But it came to pass after a while that the people called me up and half-heartedly, sheepishly, you know, some people are so full of pride, sort of apologized. Amen. Sort of apologized and said, well, we found out why the Holy Ghost told you not to give them money. All the money we were giving them was going into supporting an addiction. It wasn't that they didn't have a job that was the problem. That wasn't the gaping wound. The gaping wound was the addiction they were going through. And all the money that were being given was funneling right there. Well, God's not having the church money go to fund those things. And I have compassion and want to help those things, but that's what the Holy Ghost was sparing. And it wouldn't help that person to shell out more money to them. Well, that was the Holy Ghost. But there was a case where you could be led by emotions. And a lot of people are led by emotions. And your life is chaos. It's confusion. It's stress all the time. It's running around just trying to put out every little fire. You're not in the peace. Go into peace. From this point forward, who do you have to start telling no to? Who do you have to start saying, hey, this is out of order? I know, zoom over some people's head because they'll never make changes. They'll never make changes. They're so bound by things. But today, one of the things that binds you into doing those things, I'm going to help you with. And so, he said peace. Well, one of the greatest thieves to this peace is fear. Right? Fear is one of the greatest robbers of peace that there is. There's other things, but fear is, it's right up at the top of the list, and we can see from some examples in the Bible. He said, go into peace. Well, let me ask you this. Is fear peace?
No.
So, if you're in a place of fear for yourself, your money, your kids, your body, your business, excuse me, your family members, whoever, a friend, someone else, you know. I had one person, again, this is people that done got mad at me and head for the hills, you know, and both churches took up offerings for the building fund, so you not say it was here or Allegheny, but anyways, that came up to me, you know, and, well, I know we need $30,000, and we calculated everybody in the church, and we divided it, and we thought, oh my gosh, so-and-so would have to give this much, and what's that trying to do? Figure it out in the mental arena. Just constantly in the mental arena, trying to figure things out in the mental arena. I said, why don't you just let God told me to take up an offering for a parking lot, the money will come. The money will come, praise God. But people try to figure out things in the natural realm. And when you try to figure out things in the natural realm, it gets confusing because a lot of things can't be figured out in the natural realm. And you think about this person that is causing you to not even seek God on what to do. You're just going after, you're literally running around trying to put out every little fire and stomp it out as fast as you can. Remember when Pastor Webb was talking about the fires that he had to keep going and putting out, and eventually got so much that he just couldn't do it anymore? And that's what people are doing. They're running ragged. Because some of those people are nonstop users. Where's this coming from? You go ahead and listen to last night's sermon. I didn't say any of this, but some of it needs to be said. And it's dragging you. Some people in life, even the closest of people, you know what they're like? A 20-pound weight tied around your neck and you got thrown into the water. And you're just trying. And they're dragging you down. It's the truth. You know I'm right. We've all been there. We've all been there. And that's not peace. And the only reason you're doing that, God, that's not how God's leading you. You're being led that way. I know, because I went out of the boundaries of the Holy Ghost for my father when he had a stroke in 2004. I did things out of the emotional and the mental arena. Caused us to struggle big time the first year we were married, being put in a position that I was so worried for him, I was so concerned for him, I was so fearful for him, that I did things that naturally, when I finally got into my heart and heard from God, the Lord said, I never told you to do any of that, now fix it. And I fixed it and things changed. But people do it all the time. Why? Fear. You're so afraid. Well, if I don't, what? Oh, when did you become that person's Jesus? Are you Jesus now? You think you can save them? No, the reason these things continually happen over and over and over again should prove you can't save them. You might be able to bandage up a little bit here and there and take off the pressure and the... Jesus is the answer. And you know what my pastor realized when he told me, no, I'm not going to give you money? Jesus is your answer, Pastor Mike. There's been people, and maybe this will bum you out to hear this, and maybe you think, oh man, what if I was one of them, that I've wanted to naturally give money to, and the Holy Ghost said, nope, you're not their Jesus. They got to learn faith. Okay, Lord, well, I had to learn faith, and I'm glad I did. The best thing that ever happened to me was Pastor Michael saying, nope. Amen. Amen. A lot of people, you know, they're doing things with their time, doing things with their money, sacrificing their life, running around 10 different ways, like a chicken with their head cut off, because you're not being led by peace. Amen. Fear is a robber of peace, and fear gets us to do a lot of these things. I know that's why fear got me to do that for a whole year, taking care of my dad with a stroke. I was not qualified. It would have been better for him had I not done that. But I did it because of fear. So afraid, I thought, what if somebody else? I was spending 16 hours a day in the nursing home when he was in the nursing home. He had a stroke in April of 2004. 16 hours a day in the nursing home because I was so afraid and worried of what they would do to him that they couldn't care for him like I could. Now, I know there's cases of nursing home mistreatment, but there was none of that going on. There was no evidence of that. He was not complaining of that. Nobody was saying anything. Just in my mind, I was so afraid. What are they going to do to my dad? What are they going to do to my dad? So I spent 16 hours there. Was that by the Holy Ghost? No, it wasn't. Led me to get offended at my pastor, led me to get offended at my friends, because I thought, I'm here all the time, I never even see them. Well, they're not supposed to be there. Where's my pastor? Why isn't he here all these hours? Oh, he's just walking in the peace of God, living by faith. And see, the people that live by the peace of God, live by faith, the people that aren't, they look at those people and they say, oh, they're not compassionate. They don't have a heart. No, no, remember, Jesus ignored a woman who had a daughter grievously vexed of the devil. He was compassionate and had a heart. Jesus didn't stop and part the seas for the woman with the issue of blood. No, she had to press through the throngs of people. Jesus didn't say, hey, let's go over to the blind man. No, I'm going to keep walking, and if the blind man wants me, he'll shout me down. Amen. But he was so compassionate, praise God. Hallelujah. Fear is not okay. I'm going to go some very familiar references. We won't spend a lot of time in there, but I want to show you three places in the Bible where that specific word is used, fear. Fear, and the Bible tells you that they're wrong. Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. Again, I've preached on these so many times, I'm not going to go and say that. We've got to get some other things out. And I wasn't anticipating all that utterance. You know what that utterance will do for you if you'll obey it? It'll change the rest of your life. It will change the rest of your life. Not being bound by people. I'm only bound by God. Not being bound by my checkbook. I'm only bound by God. It's freeing, praise God. It's freeing. Am I saying you won't ruffle some feathers? No, you probably will, but that's not your problem. It's funny, Jesus didn't care about ruffling feathers. He cared about obeying God. And if his obeying God ruffled feathers, big whoop-de-doo. Who gives a flutie-tootie? He didn't give a rip. He didn't give a rip. Praise God. People in my life, I've had to realize, you want me at things? Do not schedule things on church days. Birthday parties, nope. Christmas celebrations, nope. I know what I got to do in my life. I know the mandate and the call on my life. Ain't nothing going to pull me from it. Praise God. And it's funny, I live in peace because I obey God. Praise the Lord. Not perfect by any means. My goodness, no, but Mark 4, verse 40. He said unto them, who's them? The disciples that thought they were dying. The professional fishermen that thought they were dying. Now remember, they think they're in a terrible situation. They thought they were going to die. The verses before said, Master, don't you care? We're dying. And I said this last night, and I don't know if I've ever said it this way, but people that make their living on the water, they've obviously encountered waves and wind and storms before. Now, I don't live on the water. In fact, I went lake trout fishing one time with my dad on Lake Erie and spent my time with my head over the boat barfing into the water. Never again. But for me, a small storm on a lake would be shocking to my senses and think, oh my gosh, what are we doing out here? Where, have you ever seen some of those fishing shows on TV and some of the storms they're in, and they're just going through it, they're still making jokes, and I would be, you know, looking for my new underwear. I just, you know, naturally speaking. I mean, it's not how we should act by faith, but I'm just saying naturally speaking. That's the way you'd feel, right? Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. But it's my half-hearted, sheepish apology that I give you. I don't mean to be vulgar. These things come. I'm just telling you the truth. Is it okay if I'm just real? I don't want to be fake with you guys. I don't know how to be fake. But I'm saying it would trouble me a lot more than what would trouble them. And what would trouble me would be like normal to them. So when they're troubled here to the point where they think they're going to die, it must have been a whopper of a storm. And to the point where they're convinced we're done. Water's filling up. We can't get this out quick enough. It's over. And look at what Jesus said. Why are you afraid? What's he saying there? Fear was your wrong answer. Right? Fear was the wrong answer. Now, again, why am I pointing this out? Because I'm going to point out three situations that naturally, fear is the absolute natural, normal response. And the world would look at you and say, you're crazy if you're not afraid. But I want to show you the Bible's response, or God's take, or Jesus' take on fear in three situations that absolutely would elicit feelings and thoughts of fear and a temptation to enter into that, and what heaven's take on it, because we can't take care of the fear until you get off your high horse. What's the high horse you're on? Of magnifying your situation over the Word of God. What do I mean by that? Pastor, I'm hearing you tell me not to enter into fear, but you don't understand why I'm afraid and what I'm going through. So what you're saying is the Bible can tell you not to do it, but then you trump the Word of God by saying, yeah, the Word says this, but my situation is this. Even though Philippians 4 and verse 6 says to be anxious, be fretful for nothing. Amen. Nothing. That qualifies for everything you're going through. And in a life and death situation, Jesus said, fear was wrong. Why? Fear is not faith. Faith gets us out of the storms. Go with me. You're in Mark chapter 4. Go to Mark chapter 5. In verse 22. Again, we're talking about fear. Now, again, think of these natural situations. I love how my pastor put it. He was preaching the other day. And he said, you know, the equivalent of that boat storm would be like us being on an airplane and the captain coming over the loudspeaker and saying, prepare for a crash. We're going to die. What would your response be? See, because we look at the disciples and think, what is wrong with them? But bring it into 2019. They weren't wrong in believing that was a life or death storm. They were pros. They knew this is what takes people out. Well, if the captain comes over the loudspeaker and says it, what would be your response? Well, naturally, everybody would be freaking out, right? Whoa, my gosh, what are we going to do? Lord, save me. And Jesus would say, in that situation, to you, why are you afraid? That's what he said to them. Yeah. Think about how little he puts up with fear. Yeah. We're not talking about little trials, minor trials. We're talking, in these situations, the worst of the worst. And in one of them we've seen so far, Jesus said, fear is not okay. Mark chapter 5, verse 22, behold, there came one of the rulers out of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell to seat, besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and live. Okay. Another life or death situation. The worst of the worst. What? A situation that would elicit feelings of what? Fear. Fear. Right? Well, it gets worse. After he deals with the woman with the issue of blood, in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter, the one that was sick, is now dead. Remember, he's asking Jesus to go there to prevent that. That's the worst possible news. Now she gets he gets the worst possible news. Your daughter's dead. Trouble the master. Don't trouble him any further. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, I love this. If you look at it through the wrong lens, Jesus, where's your compassion? But compassion will always do the will of God and follow the word because that's where the most blessings flow from. Amen. Jesus looked at the man that just heard the worst imaginable news ever. And look what he says to the ruler of the synagogue. Be not afraid. Two places where the worst of the worst, Jesus said, fear. The exact emotion, the greatest emotion that would spring forth out of that would be fear. In both cases, Jesus said what? Don't be afraid. Why? He responded with what he knew the devil would try to use. He knew fear's going to be Jairus' response. Fear is my boy's response. I got to tell him, this is not okay. Two places. So why am I? While I'm saying that, interchange that or mix that with the very thing that's in your brain telling you, yeah, that's well and good for them, but my situation. Because I'm guessing your situation isn't to this extreme, but even if it is, he's still telling you, don't be afraid. And if it's lesser than the greatest, we know what his response is too. Don't be afraid. Because you'll never get your help today if you just look at me as, who's that arrogant minister up there popping off at his mouth telling me this? I'm not saying these things. I didn't come up with this stuff. I'm just reporting what happened and telling you Jesus' take on it. I'm not twisting his words or trying to make it more dramatic. He said in two life or death situations, fear is wrong. That's what he said. You know what he's saying to you in your situation? Fear is wrong. It's wrong. 1 Kings 17, praise God. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'll say that utterance, Father. Just because somebody is a Christian and parades around and says all the Christian lingo, people have gotten very good at Christianese. They speak the language. They look the part. They can post things on Facebook. I know one person. Oh, they parade around. Woo! They parade around. But you know what the Holy Ghost told me about them? They're a wolf in sheep's clothing. All the lingo and the Facebook and the happiness and the stickers on the car and the t-shirts. Yeah, I look the part. No, no. Wherever that person goes, tornadoes ensue. That's what the Holy Ghost told me. They are a wolf in sheep's clothing. And people that aren't sensitive to the Holy Ghost and are led by guilt and pressure and fear, they get hoodwinked by people like that. That's just what the Holy Ghost said. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth, praise God. 1 Kings 17. In verse 9, he says, arise, go to Zarephath to Elijah, which belongs to Zidon, dwell there. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold the widow woman. You know what I love about both of these stories, the one in Jairus? It involves children. What has Pastor Mike told you? The greatest temptation for me, and I believe probably all parents that are good parents, the greatest temptation to enter into worry, to enter into fear, to enter into fretting and anxiety is when things are happening with your kids. That's when people lose their minds. Come on. I'm not belittling this because I'm telling you the temptation is there to go outside the boundaries of the Bible, outside the boundaries of the Holy Ghost and try to put fires out yourself because in the doing of the putting the fires out, it makes your flesh feel good. And you just want to feel good in helping your kids. Sometimes, follow the Holy Ghost. The best thing you can do for those people is follow the Holy Ghost. And sometimes what he says naturally will make your flesh crawl. You know what it was like to tell my family, I'm not living with him anymore. They don't understand everything I know. The rumors and the things that got talked about me. And they had no idea I just sacrificed a year of my life to love him and to do things that no son should ever have to experience doing for his dad. I had to do those things for a year out of pressure and guilt. Now, I was glad to help him, but I wasn't helping him the fullest amount by following the Holy Ghost. Finally, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. And I dealt with that fear that was causing me to do it. And you know what happened? My dad was fine. And life got better for him, and life got better for us. It was amazing how that works. God knows best. But things with our kids, and this is another situation with children. Again, why I'm saying this is because if you're a parent, you know that's at the top of the temptation to worry list. Or when things go wrong, you could care less if things are going wrong in your body. You could care less if things are going wrong in your finances. If your kids are okay, you're good. And what am I saying? You would trade, you would go bankrupt to make sure your kids are okay. You would take all the sickness in the world if you had to make sure your kids were healthy. Just the truth. And so these things deal with children. And she says, where are we at? Verse 10. So he rose, went to Zarephath, came to the city. Behold, there was a widow woman there gathering sticks. He called her and said, fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now remember, God told him, she's going to provide for you. And as she was going to fetch it, he said, also bring me food. And she said, verse 12, as the Lord God lives, I don't have food. Only a handful of little stuff here that's going to make one meal for me and my son. And we're going to eat it and we're going to die. Now, again, put yourself there, parents. I'm guessing most of us, I'm guessing all of us are not on your last meal with you and your children. I don't think that's a stretch to say that. That's where she was at. One meal left for her and her precious child. Imagine the emotion. Imagine the feelings. The fear that would already be there. What am I going to do after this one meal is served up? And now, the minister saying, in verse 13, Elijah said unto her, look at the first two words he says. What are they? Wait, what? Fear not. Wait a minute, Elijah. Did you not just hear what I said? We are on the verge of death, life or death, worst situation. We have one meal left, and you're telling me to give it to you, and you're saying, in the process of giving you my last meal, to not be afraid? Are you crazy? And that's the thoughts the devil will give you. Pastor Mike's crazy to expect you not to be afraid. Well, if Jesus didn't expect the disciples in a storm that could kill them to be afraid, if Jesus didn't expect Jairus when he got the worst news a parent could get to be afraid, if Jesus didn't expect the woman here with one meal left with her child to be afraid, guess what he's looking at towards your situation? Don't be afraid. Fear will take you out of faith so fast. Go with me to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Praise God. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. The word is so good. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to beat you over the head and tell you I'm belittling your situation. I'm trying to tell you the higher and the better way to get you out of it. Amen. That's what I'm trying to do. Jesus wasn't saying, you idiots, you're so stupid. What's wrong with you? No, he's saying, listen, the next time you're in a storm, the way out of this is watch me what I did, and it's faith. Praise God. What have I told you? I've told you financial testimonies. I've told you physical testimonies. I've told you things with my children, things with business, things that were impossible. Why? So the next time you can counter, you can watch somebody that did it. How'd Pastor Mike get through that faith? The exact thing Jesus told me to do. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, for God has not given the spirit of fear. Do you see there that fear is not natural? Fear is a spirit. Well, in the spirit realm, there's two kingdoms. God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. That's it. If there's only, spirits can only come from the spirit realm. If God's not dishing out that spirit, and there's only one other entity in that spirit that can dish things out, guess where fear comes from? Come on, where's it come from? The devil. Fear comes from the devil. God's not dishing it out. Now look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. Very familiar scripture. When the kids come up, some of the kids, you know, take it so literally when we have them take notes and they'll write down every single verse. And we had the kids last night because it was last Saturday in Allegheny come and show me their notes. And one kid wrote down everything. I'm like, my goodness, I said all that? What in the world's wrong with me? That's a lot of verses. But we don't we don't leave no stone unturned. Amen. So the devil dishes out fear. God dishes out good things, the Bible says, life and life more abundantly. Why does he give you good things? Because he wants you to experience those good things. Well, why do you think the devil gives you things? So you can experience some things. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Always remember this. The motivation behind everything the devil does is to get you into a place where you're being stolen from, where things are being killed off in your life. I don't just mean a heartbeat. I mean financial deals. Your finances look dead. This looks dead. This and destruction in your life. That's what the devil's goal is. So if he's dishing out fear, what do you think people that partake of fear will then walk into or experience? Stealing, killing, and destroying, because that's what he does. How does he do it? He uses his tools. What's one of the tools he uses? Fear. He's a thief. I said this last night, you know, thieves don't need an open door. Right? They break in. Right? They bust doors down. They break windows. They do things. And, but with that being said, we naturally take steps to do all that we can to keep thieves out. Security systems, lock the doors, right? Safes in the house, put, you know, whatever you do. You do what you can, right, to keep thieves out. You don't help a thief out and put a neon sign out in front of your house that says, "We will be gone on this day. From this time, the combination to our safe is this number, this number, this number. The key, actually, we won't even have a key. The door's unlocked. Our dog will bark at you, but really don't be moved by that because when she come inside, she's just going to lick you." She sounds like she's got something there, but she doesn't. That would be moronic. Thieves are going to do what thieves are going to do, but I want to make it harder for the thief. When you enter into fear, you've entered into opening the door to the thief. He's going to try to get in anyways. Why open the door for him? Keep him out. Why does he want to get you into fear? Because then he gets you into stealing, killing, and destruction. Praise God. Now, I want to show you this, that fear is an entry point for the devil. So anything you're afraid about, now you know why. Jesus would say to them, don't be afraid. Jairus, don't be afraid. Woman with one meal left, don't be afraid, because you can't afford what's coming on the coattails of fear. Better deal with fear. Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Probably the most misunderstood book of the whole Bible. They write stupid songs about Job because Job made a statement and said, "The Lord gave and the Lord take away." And people shout it, "He gives and takes away. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving it and praise you for taking it away." Well, that's what Job said. Yes, so what? It was recorded what Job said, but how about when Job repented for what Job said? You just read your Bible. It wasn't God that stole from Job. God doubled what the devil took from Job. The devil's the stealer, killer, destroyer, not God. And people chalk it up to God all the time. God did that to Job. Where in your Bible does it say that God did that to Job? In my Bible it says Satan went from the presence of God and wreaked havoc in Job's life. Now this is what you need to understand in Job chapter 1 and verse 10. Job's the book right before Psalms. Look at what it says. Satan's in the presence of God, and he says, "Have you not made a hedge about him?" Do we understand every single thing about Job? No, but we understand some major things that will help you in your faith. The devil is declaring to mankind, "God, you make hedges around people." Because the devil's saying, "I can't get in because of the hedge you made." What's God's will? To make a hedge around you. So why? The devil can't get in. Amen. And then, we need to just study this book sometime, and I'll preach a sermon on it. People think, well, God just offered Job up to the devil. No, the devil has the right to go after any person on planet Earth. Job was just as much fair game as anybody was. But the point is that the devil pointed out, Lord, you've put a hedge around him. I can't get in there. Well, how did that hedge get broken down? Where was the entry point? Because the devil's saying, because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy from everybody, I'm trying to get in. I've tried to get in. There's a hedge. There's a hedge. There's a hedge. I can't get in. He needs an entry point in. Well, how did he get in? Job 3 and verse 25 tells us. Praise God. Job 3 and verse 25. For the thing. And you know what's interesting about this, parents? This centered around his kids. If you go back and look at Job, he was making sacrifices all the time, going through the motions for his children, for things he didn't even know if they needed to be done. He was so wrapped up in fear that he was just doing these things out of obligation just to do them. I gotta do them, I gotta do them. No peace at all. He's constantly afraid for his kids. It's not okay, parents, to worry about your children. I know that's backwards in America. It's not okay. You're not doing them a favor. You're not doing them a favor to worry and then and to be in fear and then to act off of the different shoots and facets that fear bring of acting out of guilt, acting out of pressure, doing things not based on the Holy Ghost. It's a mess. It starts to snowball. It's out of control. He said, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. Now, why would the devil dish out fear? Because he's looking for entrance of stealing, killing, destroying your life. How did the devil, he pointed out, said, Lord, you put a hedge around him. I can't get in. How can I get in? Oh, Job opened a door. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. What's he saying? I was constantly afraid for my family and my kids. And it happened. Why? Because God let it? Nope. God was the one making the hedges. Because why? There was an open door and the devil was able to get in. Now, I want to show you, this is what the Lord spoke to me this morning. I don't remember what time it was early, it was still dark. He said, you have a hedge as well. You know what your hedge is? Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Yep. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Man, I'll tell you what. The Holy Ghost is so good. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Now remember, he put a hedge around Job. The only way he could get in was if Job opened the door, and he did through fear. The Holy Ghost tells you, above all, take the shield of faith. What's a shield do? Blocks you. Hedges you in. Keeps you safe from the outward elements. Well, what elements are we talking about? Take the shield of faith, wherewith, or with this shield of faith, you're going to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Who's the wicked? The devil. What's he looking for? An entryway. He's looking to get past the hedge. What does it say? If your hedge is up, the devil's darts get quenched, can't get in. When Job's hedge was up, the devil went to God, complained, said, I can't get to him. You've made a hedge about him. Faith is our hedge. It's our shield. But in the same token, when you don't operate in faith, that's the equivalent of removing the shield and then being wide open to the darts, the wicked one's attacks. Fear and faith are not the same thing. When you enter into fear, you've now stepped out of faith. When you step out of faith, you've put your shield down. You've there opened the door to him, the enemy. Do you see why Jesus wasn't being uncompassionate to Jairus and to his disciples and the woman that had one meal left? He's saying, the best thing I can do for you to turn this around and to change this is to tell you the last thing you want to enter into is fear, because when you enter into fear, you bring things you never wanted to come on the coattails of that. The devil and all his stuff. Praise God. It's the truth. 1 Peter 5:8. I got to get moving because I'm finishing this. I'm finished with this. The spaghetti, I mean, you already came out in the ice anyways. You're here. The spaghetti is getting warm. I mean, we're all doing good here. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Fear's not okay. Would you agree with Jesus on that? Fear's not okay. Now that we learn why it's not okay, can't afford it. Unless you want the devil mingling around your stuff and your kids and your money and your body. I mean, it's up to you. 1 Peter 5:8. Now I'm going to start to show you how to deal with the fear. That's what we're going to end on. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, the stealer, the killer, the destroyer, remember, needs an entryway. Because you know what? If he could just kill, why wouldn't he just kill Pastor Mike? Because I'm up here talking against him. Why don't he just do it? He can't. Why didn't he just kill you? He's just not, he can't do it. He needs an entryway. Yeah, why can't he just cause you to lose your job tomorrow and be in financial turmoil? Because he can't. He needs an entryway. Can't do it. Why don't he just do all these things to you? He can't just do these things. He needs an entrance. And look what it says here. Your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking whom he may devour. That word whom in the Greek means allow. The ones that will allow him. How do you allow him? Giving him entryway. This is what I want you to see. Trying to help you here. The Bible says he goes about as a roaring lion. Now, lions, you ever seen, not to get graphic, but have you ever seen on National Geographic or Discovery, when the lions, and they'll go attack like the kudu or whatever they are, running away from them? Do the lions go up to their prey and say, do I have permission to eat you? Would it be okay today if we dined on you? No. What does a true lion do? Just take, right? Doesn't he? Yeah. That's what a true lion does. Well, why doesn't the devil just take? Just take. Because he's not a true lion. But what he is he plays dress up in Halloween every day and dresses up like one, and he's got a big mouth like a lion. Just like my dog, right? She's got a big mouth, but just go inside and see how big of a mouth she really has. You're going to just get nothing but licked. Right? She's so docile, you know, but her bark sounds like, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, that's what the devil does. Bark, bark, bark. Roar, roar, roar. Why? The roaring, that's why Jesus said, be careful what you hear, be careful what you do with your thoughts, because it comes through thoughts. The roaring is to get your attention. Roar! Look at your medical report. Roar! Look at what's happening to you and your money. Roar! Just constant roaring to you. Why? To get your attention. Why? To receive those thoughts, to enter into fear, worry, anxiety, therefore putting your shield down, opening the door for him to attack. It's the only way he can get you. It's the only way he can get you. That's it. He needs entryway. Amen. Now, there are times that there are attacks that are unprovoked, but you have to understand something. Your faith can turn and twist those all around. But there are attacks from just complete open doors. How do you know if it's an open door? You know if you're in fear. You know if you're in faith. You know if you're believing. You know if you've been doubting. You know, don't you? I know when I get like that. But here's what you have to understand, and we're fixing to close, as I've learned that from my pastor. Just say that. People will be all right if you say that. Make them feel like you're getting somewhere. You have to stop letting in the roars of the devil through the thoughts, the circumstances, the feelings, the pressure. Stop getting to you. This has to become louder than his roar. Isaiah 14:12. Let me show you exactly who the roarer is. Isaiah 14:12. Now, I said this last night, and it's worth repeating. Because when I'm talking about the roars, I'm talking about when he's telling you your kids aren't going to make it. You're not going to make it financially. That's the roars I'm talking about. When he tells you that thing the doctor said, that's as real as the day is long, and it's true, and that's what's going to happen to your life. I'm talking about the natural things that he piles upon with thoughts and pressures and circumstances and kicks up the dust storm. That's the roaring. And it seems so big and bad and scary, but it's only because, again, those roars are louder than this roar. Because this roar has an answer to every one of his roars. But let me show you who's roaring at you. Now, I said this last night. You can choose to see this on December 1st, 2019, or you can wait until you see it in the spirit realm when it happens and miss out on all the natural life that you have left being afraid of those roars. As Pastor Nancy Dufresne one time said, if you think right, symptoms won't bother you. You know what symptoms are? Roars. Because the Word says you're healed. She said, when you seemingly don't have enough money, that won't trouble you. What's seemingly not enough money? Just roars. Can't pay your bills, the numbers don't line up. That's just roars, because the Word has your answer for it. So he's roaring and telling you these things, and we're buying into them for some reason. Why people want to listen to the devil, it's beyond me. I've been there and done it. Had to give myself talking to, so I'm certainly not saying you're in an uncommon position. But look what it says about this roarer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now, for those that don't know, before the devil was the devil, he was an angel in heaven called Lucifer. Well, remember when Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He said he was in heaven, he fell like a lightning bolt went from there to there. Well, why did that happen? Well, it's telling us why and how it happened. You've fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. This is why it happened. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. What a moron. Now think about this. You think you're dumb when you miss it. No, you don't even come close to being on this kind of a dumb level. He was in the presence of Almighty God in all His splendor. All His power and majesty. He was created by God. And he said, I'm going to overthrow him. You talk about dumb. You talk about, why would you listen to the stupidity that comes out of that moron's mouth? That's what he did. I see your power. I've seen you create everything. I see your splendor. I see your might. I'm going to take over. What? What are you talking about, Willis? That's what I would have said if I was God. What are you talking about, Willis? Maybe that's where that came from. What you talking about, Willis? That's crazy. Crazy talk. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What an idiot. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You need to start talking to him about his future a little bit. When he's oppressing me really hardcore in my thought life, I start talking to him about his future. And you know what seems to happen? The oppression starts to go away. Why? He doesn't want to stick around and hear what he's got coming. I'll say, oh, Mr. Devil, let me remind you, you're going to burn in hell forever. I won't. You are going to suffer in extreme pain, and you're going to have a miserable eternity, and you'll never be redeemed, and you'll never be saved, and you know what's coming. Oh, the talk stops. He starts to go away. And I'll help you that at the end. And we're getting to the end. We're going to get there. Now here you go. You shall be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you. So they look at him and they're considering him and they're thinking about something. And they say to themselves, this one that's cut down, brought to the pits, is a nobody. They're going to look at you and say, is this the man that made the nations tremble? This thing? This thing is the one that had me terrified about my finances? This lying moron? This one had me so terrified about my body, about what's going to happen to my kids, what's going to happen in my business, what's going to happen to my... This one is the one I listen to? Because you have a choice what voice you're going to listen to. God's or the Word. God's or the Word. God's or the... Or, no, devils are the Word. God and the Word are the same. But you have a choice what I'm saying. You have a choice. Because when the devil says you won't make it, God's saying you're gonna. When the devil says you're not gonna make it money-wise, God says you're gonna. When the devil says you're gonna die of sickness, God says you're not. You choose the voice you listen to. And when you get there, you say, why did I take 2 seconds listening to this? Well, you can choose to see him that way now, because that's what he is now. Say he is? Yeah, Colossians 2:15 says that Jesus stripped, disarmed, put to naught, paralyzed, made to nothing, principalities and powers. He spoiled them. He disarmed the devil. The devil only has left is the power of suggestion. Talk to you about your kids. Talk to you about your money. Talk to you about your body over and over. Put little thoughts in there, seeds in there. This is how we think. And I will close with this. Luke 4:1. How do we deal with the roars, the big mouth of the devil? People all the time say, he keeps talking. I said, then do something about it. He's persistent. Keep going. A lot of outlasting the devil is just outlasting the devil. Just stand on your ground. Well, I just gave you a tip on how to get him off your back. Start talking to him about his future. Start putting him in his place. He can't stand up to it. If you'll keep going. Well, a lot of people don't keep going. That's the problem. Luke 4 and verse 1. Now remember what it says in James 4:7? Resist the devil. Resist. There's going to be opposition. You have to oppose him. Don't just let him talk and roar. Resist him. How do we resist him? Well, Jesus tells us right here. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Verse 2, 40 days tested of the devil. Those days he ate nothing. When they were ended, he hungered. And the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. And Jesus answered. Jesus didn't get quiet. Jesus didn't ponder the thought of the devil. Jesus didn't stir it over in his mind. As soon as the devil said something contrary to the word, Jesus answered it. You want to not enter into fear? This is your recipe. This is what the Holy Ghost talked about me this morning, of taking this message even further. You want to not enter into fear. We can't enter into fear. We've seen that today. You want to not enter into fear? As soon as he starts talking, you need to start talking. Because if you don't, it gets in there. And it's a little seed looking to take root in you. To start rooting out and getting a stronghold in your mind. And getting fear run rampant in you. Jesus answered and said the word, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Now here it is. And the devil taking him up. Wait a minute. But I have to keep doing this. Yeah, no duh. Jesus did too. You're in great company. Just worthy to be counted like Jesus if the devil keeps coming. Man, you got to turn it around and start thinking, what must he be afraid of to mess with me like this? What must be on the other side that he's trying to keep me from? What must he be trying to hide from my view by roaring and roaring and roaring? Yeah. It's so good. Man, there must be some good stuff ahead to go through this. To hear him talk to me like this. I mean, he won't shut up about my money. He won't shut up about my kids. He won't shut up about my body. Man, why? What does he not want you to enter into? Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't want Jesus to enter into something. What did he want Jesus to enter into? Redemption for mankind. If I can take him out by getting him to disobey me, if I can take, or by disobeying God and obeying me, if I can get him to take him out by jumping off a cliff, I can keep him from what's ahead. And I'll talk to him about this stuff. The devil took him up on a mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time, the devil said, I'll give it all to you, because it was his. And the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it, if you'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus didn't ponder that and say, man, that'd be cool, all the kingdoms of the world. Wow, look at it all, it looks great. He didn't ponder it. No, he answered it right away and said, it is written, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus is not allowing a stronghold to enter into his life. Why? As soon as the thought comes, he answers it. As soon as the thought comes about yourself, you answer it. As soon as the thought comes about your kids, you answer it. As soon as the thought comes about your money, you answer it. As soon as the thought comes about your body, you answer it. Answer it with what? Jesus said, it is written. What's written? As soon. He didn't wait. He didn't stumble around. He didn't waste time. I'll get back to that. No, no, no. He understood. As soon as the devil talks, I need to talk. Some of you are going to have to start opening your mouths. Well, that's just not who I am. Okay. That's fine. That's fine. Therefore, you're on your high horse again, by the way. Keep trumping what the Word says to do with how you personally feel. I don't raise my hands in church, Pastor Mike, because that's not who I am. Okay. You'll never do anything for God if you can't even do this. Say, what's the big deal about this? He likes it. That's what's the big stinking deal about it. He likes it, the Word says. It blesses Him to raise our hands. But you just keep trumping what He says to do and what He likes and His approval based on how you feel and your comfort level. You just keep doing that and living that kind of a life. I'll continue to inconvenience myself and do the hard things to my flesh and mind and keep being exalted and exalted and increased and promoted and blessed. I'll just keep doing it. But come along with me if you want to. And He brought him, verse 9, to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. Angels will get you. Verse 11, and in their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, there it is again, bam. I'm not even going to entertain this thought. It is said, or it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord of God. Verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed for a season. Well, what got him to leave? The response. You know the people that sit there quiet? It just piles up. Gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what I was saying. When the oppression gets really bad, if I keep my mouth shut, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But when I fight back, I might have to do it 50 times in an hour. That's fine. I might have to do it 500 times in an hour. That's fine with me. I don't care. I'd rather be free. Because He will leave because He doesn't like taking thumps. The Word's a sword. Every time you speak the Word, it's a thump. One day I was playing with Abby. She was running around. I don't know who she was being. She had a sword, and she was thumping me with it. And I finally got sick of it. I said, I'm done. You don't know how to play nice. I'm done. I'm sick of it. I don't want to play with you anymore. Well, keep thumping the devil. Eventually he's going to say, I'm tired of taking my licks from you. I'm going to go to the next person that will just keep their mouth shut and not ever lick me. Your choice. Praise God. Can't enter into fear. Devil's going to try to get you into fear through the roars, through the thoughts, through the circumstances. Your job is to answer them every single time with what? The Word. I don't know what to say. Come see me about what he's talking to you about. Be hungry enough to reach out to me, and I will tell you what to say. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Were you helped today? I know you were because the Word was good. Father, we thank you for the Word this morning. Lord, we are blessed. It's not okay to worry about our kids. It's not okay to worry about our money. It's not okay to worry about our businesses and our bodies and this and that. It's not okay. Be anxious for nothing. Go into peace. Father, we endeavor this morning to be obedient to that. We endeavor to go into peace. It was a command from you. So from this place forward, Father, anything in our lives, this is the way we should do it, that's causing us no peace, that's causing us fretting, anxiety, we're going to make adjustments. We're going to figure it out. We're going to start answering it. We're going to start applying faith to those things because it's not okay. We are not going to allow the devil to reign freely. He's already does enough on his own. We're not going to open the door to him and say, come on in. No. Father, I pray that everyone would be doers of this Word this morning. I mean, they came out in an ice storm. Might as well do what they heard. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know, as I look around this room today, we're all saved in here. I'm going to see all of you in heaven. That's exciting. We're all going to be there together. I don't have a doubt in my mind. I know each and every one of you personally, and you've accepted Jesus into your heart. You've made that commitment. But if there's somebody listening on live stream right now or in the future when this is archived online, and you can say to yourself, Pastor, if today were my last day on planet Earth, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Jesus made heaven simple. God made getting to heaven simple. He just pointed out a few directions. He said, you've got to believe in Jesus and you've got to receive Him. So if you're listening and you can say, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'd like to go to heaven. The first thing you need to ask yourself is, do I believe in Jesus? Now, it doesn't mean you have to understand everything or know everything about Him or have the whole Bible memorized or anything like that. But in your heart, does your heart tell you, yeah, He was real. He was real. If you say yes, your head might say no, your flesh might say no, but your heart says yes. you're qualified. And then you just simply cry out to him and declare your belief and invite him in your heart. And it would sound something like this: Lord, I believe you. I believe in you. I believe that you are real, and I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose from the dead. I believe that. I might not understand it. I might not have it all figured out, but in my heart, I just know that that's true. Father, I ask that you would save me, that Jesus would come into my heart. The Bible says if you'll call on him, he'll respond. And if you pray that for the first time and you mean it, get a hold of me. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. Because you don't have to come to church. Heaven's great. You're going to heaven, but the rest of your life, we need to get you hooked up in a Bible teaching church so you can learn and become skillful with God's ways and his word and walk in the abundance and the abundant life and the peace that he has for you. Father, we thank you for today. Let's stand to our feet and let's just thank him. Let's take time to just thank him. And if you need to repent for fear, you need to repent for fear. Then repent for fear, praise God. If you need to repent, then you need to repent. Then repent. Father, forgive me for those times where I've let my mind wander, where I've let imaginations get bigger than you, where I've let circumstances and the roars of the devil get louder than what you've said to me, than what you've shown me in your word, than what you've spoken to me in my heart, than what you've spoken to me through the prophets that have lined up in my spirit, Father God. Forgive me. Forgive me for even entertaining that moronic, idiotic, defeated devil. That's who you are, devil. Say, oh, you better be careful. No, he needs to know who he is. Satan, you're defeated. You are powerless. You are a liar. You are a nobody. You are under our feet. And we just thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word to drive him back and to push him back and to walk into everything that we have. But we, this point, declare we are going into peace. We will deal with the fears and the anxieties. No matter how bad it looks, we will deal with it. And this point forward, we'll say, it is not okay anymore. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for the victory that awaits us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. We'll see you Wednesday. You're dismissed. Praise God.